Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters. It is Sunday, July 6th. We are the Satellite Sisters. I'm Leanne Dolan in Pasadena, California. We have the varsity team on tap today. We haven't used that term in a while. But I'm here with my sister, Julie Dolan, in Dallas, Texas. Howdy, Julie.
Hi. I'm sort of sad today. Summer's over, you know. It's after the 4th of July. You know, they clear out all the summer stuff. They bring in all the winter clothes. It's over. Summer's over. It's all down here, downhill from now.
It is. I have read they're starting back to school earlier than ever. Oh. All right, Liz Dolan in Santa Monica, California. Liz, I know you love back to school season.
I am happy to get through the 4th of July because you know how hard that is on dogs. So, but I just got to say, another successful 3rd, 4th, and 5th of July with Ferris in his thunder shirt. So I just cannot recommend that enough for people with anxious dogs. Julie, I don't know. Zorro doesn't seem to get anxious about anything.
No, Zorro does not. That is, fireworks are fine with him. Just bring them on. He does not care. Right?
And Lee and Mia has no problem with fireworks?
Doesn't care. No. I mean, she looks up like, what's that? But she doesn't. She doesn't care.
See, Ferris shakes so much, it's like he's going to shatter into 1,000 pieces.
Aww.
So, anyway, the Thunder shirt, I cannot recommend that more highly.
All right, well, later on in the show, we thought we had a feel-good story about a food truck trend that we would want to tell you, but it turned into a social media disaster for Liz, so she's going to tell you that. Julie has a hard-hitting report on 8 reasons why you have to watch Scandal.
Yes, indeed. Forget summer reading. You don't need any of those books.
I spotted what is possibly the worst vacation ever in the New York Times travel section today. So stay tuned. We have a lot to cover on Satellite Sisters. But first, you guys, I just need to let you know that I made it through 10 days without a washing machine.
Why?
Why
would you do that?
Well, the start button on our washing machine was broken. And, like, you couldn't. Everything was fine. You just couldn't get the button to work. So I tried the Edna Dolan method. Like occasionally it would spring to life for about a week and then we couldn't get it at all. And so we had to have a guy in and then he had to wait 4 days for the part. So long story short, we're 10 days without a washing machine. And I just want to say that is a test of the depth of my yoga pants collection. And I can report that I successfully made it through. I have such a deep yoga pants collection that I made it through
10 days.
The washing machine. But on the last day, I did have to put on pants because I was out of yoga pants. And I happened to see Sheila that day, and she looked at me. She's like, do you have pants with a zipper on? I go, I do. I know.
So, Lena, you did not resort to washing your clothes in the dishwasher. You know, I don't know why.
I'm concerned. Since you gave that report, the Satellite Sisterhood seems to be putting everything in the dishwasher. Have you noticed? People putting sneakers in the dishwasher yesterday.
Of course, Leanne. They come out shiny and white. Yes.
Leanne, another thing you might consider, when our brother Brendan lived with me, like right after college when we were sharing New York City apartment, you know, he was not a big fan of doing his own laundry. So he would go for a run around Central Park, and then he would come home and he would just get in the shower in his running clothes and rinse them off in the shower, hang them up in there, then complete his shower. And that was his process for garment cleansing. So if it really gets desperate there, I know it's hot in Pasadena this weekend.
Hot.
You might just want to wear your clothes into the shower and see how that works.
Okay, that's a good one, Liz. I mean, we're good now. We've made it through. The washing machine is fully operational. So, it's kind of a big deal when the start button doesn't work. So, as we learned. But I have 10 days worth of yoga pants. I can confirm that.
Okay, Leanne, very impressive. Well, I mean, did it lead to, do the kids do any hand washing? Did you have any of that going on in your house? No?
We just have one. Colin has a job where he needs to wear a uniform T-shirt. And
yes.
So we did have to hand wash that.
Okay.
I had to hand wash it. He didn't. You know, he would have just worn it. smelling.
You should just point at the dishwasher and tell him to do it himself.
I didn't even, you know what, Liz, I didn't even consider putting
you didn't, I told you. It's the one appliance, Liam. It's the go-to appliance, okay? Never again. Don't ever get yourself in that situation. Hey, sisters, there's some interesting research that's just come out. It's a research team out of the University of San Francisco, and they are looking into the genetic clues for restful sleep. Because don't we all want that? Don't we
yes.
all you know, have sleep that, you know, where we wake up, we feel refreshed. And they kind of believe that, you know, they're working on trying on the genetics of it because they think that there are family similarities with sleep patterns. I mean, they've identified night owls. Okay, we all know what those people are. Those are the people that like to stay up late and they aren't so good at getting up early in the morning. But they've also identified another group of people that they're referring to as morning larks. And these are people that go to bed unusually early, but also rise very early in the morning. So, and what they mean by going to bed early is they go to bed by 8:30 at night, but they will usually get up before 5:30 in the morning. And if I have my choice, I believe that I would be considered a morning lark. So, but here's the part that confused me, that if as sisters we share genetics, I would never, as a morning lark, think to pick up the phone and call, let's say, Monica when I'm up and bright and shiny at 6 o'clock in the morning, because I don't believe that she is a morning lark. So, or Liz, do you feel, I don't think that you're a morning lark, but...
No, I have trained myself over the years, just because life demands that you get up early in the morning and start working. I've trained myself over the years to be okay with it, but I don't think it would be... my natural timing.
But they're studying whole families because they think that these families have similar sleep patterns. And I don't see any of those patterns developing in our families. They've also identified some people that require unusually small amounts of sleep. Now, Leon, I know when your kids were young, you were operating on this small amount
yes.
of sleep thing. But that's not your normal. No. But they're talking about people like, you know who I'm talking
Martha
about.
Stewart. Martha Stewart. Right. Martha Stewart always talks about how little sleep she needs.
You know, that these are people that are naturally short sleepers, and yet they're optimistic. Well, I don't know if that's Martha's characteristic, but they're energetic, they're go-getters, they're high achievers because they're able to operate on such little sleep. And what they feel like is if they can figure out what the, like, DNA of, you know, people like Martha Stewart is, that this might lead to certain drug therapies, or it could really unlock the clue of how we could all operate with less sleep, which sounds terrible.
I don't want to do that. I enjoy sleeping.
Yes.
I enjoy being in bed even if I'm not asleep, you
yes.
know. So, like, just give me my 8 hours of being in bed, right? Or nine. Nine would be nice. But do I really want to spend only 4 hours a day laying in my beautiful, big, Cal King, comfy bed? No, that is not my goal.
Well, they feel like, you know, that maybe that this would help with people that have to work at night, that they could, you know, develop some therapies to help them because that really throws off your circadian rhythm. Or, you know, the jet lag issue, Liz, which
yeah.
I know you're very familiar with. But really, it's also to try to figure out how to create more of this 1%, these people that can operate with less sleep. So, I don't know. So, should we protest this research? Is that what
I think we should operate with less work. I think that is the goal. Really? I think that the workday for the average American keeps getting longer and longer.
Right.
And maybe that's what we should stop. That the problem is we're, you know, we don't have enough time to sleep, but that's not sleep's fault, you know?
Yeah.
So, I'd go the other way. I say, you know, more sleep, less work. Leon, your house is a super early house. Do you think you would be that way anyway, or is it because your husband? When I saw you last night, you were saying the other night he was up at 3 a.m. to go for his run, so he could go to work at 4 a.m. That does
yeah.
seem even beyond the lark. That's like the vampire or something.
I pointed out that's not the morning. That's running in the middle of the night. It's like, where have you been? Like when he came into the bedroom, where have you been? Oh, running. I am. We three out of four of us are early risers. So, and I've always been an early riser. I'm a lark like Julie.
Yeah.
So in fact, we did have a phone conversation at about 6:45 Pacific Standard Time this week. So, you know, Julie saw I was up. She dialed in. But my other son, Colin, is not. He is definitely late night. But Brooks always been an early riser. Never once complained about getting up to go to soccer early, to go to, you know, weightlifting at 5:30 in the morning on a school night. Never once. He's an early riser. But so I don't know what that says about anything. But Liz, I think you're right. My husband's up running at 3 in the morning, not because, oh, I've had enough sleep, but because work is killing me.
Yes, so, exactly.
You know, it's not.
And for him, he's choosing running over unrestful
stressing.
Sleep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that it is more restful to him to go for a run, really.
Right.
Than to try to stay in bed and not sleep.
Right.
Okay, exactly. Well, they're not studying any of this at that these two research pairs. And obviously, there seems to be much bigger issues that they really need to redirect their research dollars because this is going wrong. So, all right. Well, the other big story this week was the PepsiCo CEO, Indra Nooyi, was out at Aspen. And this is, they have a big festival of ideas. And she's making a lot of headlines because she essentially said, you know, you can't, as a female CEO, you just can't have it all. And that if people were to ask Indra Nooyi's daughters about whether or not she's been a good mom or a bad mom, she's not really sure how she would answer. She knows that they complained about her missing class coffees and various things, and that her defense always was she was not the only bad mom in the group. So, well, there you have it. That's quite a lot for her to say. As, you know, as a role model, as someone who has broken through the glass ceiling. So my question to you, sisters, is, A, number one, has Indra Nooyi set the women's movement back 50 years? Or B, is she just speaking the truth? And C, would you want to work at her company if this is her attitude? Okay. Take it away.
Well, I wouldn't want to work at PepsiCo because I don't like Pepsi. I'm purely in the Diet Coke camp. So there's nothing about the PepsiCo company I enjoy. Fritos, that's a good product. You know, we've been at a bunch of things with her, haven't we?
Yes,
like where
we
she
have.
Speaks, she's really impressive in person. I don't think she's setting anything back. I think people have figured it out by now that you can't have everything, right?
Yeah, I would say this. I would say any CEO can't have it all. I don't care if you're male or female. I watch the CEOs that I work with, including my own CEO, my direct boss. I mean, he has an unbelievably killer schedule. You know, and he's married and has two little kids, but has this killer travel schedule. I bet he's probably circumnavigating the globe as much as Indra Nooyi is. You have to make your choices at that level. It's one of the reasons why those jobs are so hard and so demanding. So I don't think she's setting anything back, but I think it relates to the previous issue on sleep. I think that there is this expectation that we can all just keep working harder and harder and extend our working day when we're home because we have email and we have Skype. And so you could do that conference call at 10 o'clock at night because you can just dial in. Well, yes, I know it's possible to dial in, but that doesn't mean that's what I should be doing at 10 p.m. You know, so there is this technology creep, which means for people not in all lines of work, but in lots of businesses where the workday sort of never ends. And I'd like to see some management around that issue. Like, how do you do that in a global economy? I'm not sure. Maybe that whole Aspen Ideas Festival, they could just work on that. Like, you know, my personal solution would be one time zone for the world. That's it. Everybody's on the same time zone. When it's morning for me, it's morning for you. I don't care if it's dark. It's just going to be morning for me. And maybe we could switch that every few years. So, you know, sometimes it's, you know, morning is light in the Americas, but dark in Asia. And then after a couple of years, it's their turn. Then they get the morning. And, you know, we just have a dark morning. It's just a thought. I'm not sure how you'd actually work that out.
Liz, now that's a big idea. Wow.
Liz got a good night's sleep last night.
It's sort of the World Cup of daylight savings or something.
Exactly. Yes, maybe it is a 4-year term, Julie. You're right. Okay, Europe, you win this year. morning is light in Europe for the next 4 years, and the rest of us just have to suck it up.
I think there's a class coffee creep. I mean, you know, forget the word creep.
Oh, really?
Wait, yes. Do you remember mom showing up ever at school?
No.
And now there's just an explosion of obligation.
I know. And then that's the standard by which we're judged? Like, I don't understand that. There's just a million activities at school now. And it just won't quit. So it's hard for anybody to go to everything. And I'm not sure why that's the standard. Even like sporting events. Again, I would say I saw mom at one tennis match in 4 years. And I think they came to my school play when I was in it, you know, but they didn't. She wasn't volunteering backstage, and she wasn't liaisoning or anything. She wasn't like getting.
Well, right. What is the purpose of a class coffee? Not being a parent, I don't really know that.
It's to meet the other parents that are in the same grade, so that you have support, and friendship, blah blah blah, that kind of thing. So that's what it is.
It's just pressure.
It's sheer pressure.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria Seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So pros, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then posts it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros.
Because it's in the middle of a workday.
Yeah.
Somebody's workday. I don't understand why that's become the standard of parenting. Like how many events you attend. I don't get it. Mm-hmm. Right, so.
But okay. I would say in this case that if you are a young woman and you're thinking about trying to do it all, you know, if you're starting your career and you also want to have a family, you know, or a life outside, even just a life outside of your career, you hear comments like that and you're like, well, what the heck? Why even try? You know, or, you know, where this, you know, that it's not even worth it to try because it sounds so bad. So,
no, you know. I totally agree. I think the average like workplace hours and the way things work and the way work gets distributed is just very life unfriendly. You know, I don't care if you're male or female or you have kids or you don't. There is this sort of stretching of always being on call. And, you know, it you really have to be disciplined to have a life. Or, you know, it's just in my choice. Because it's a choice for me. I never have the excuse of like, okay, sporting event.
So, I know, but you have a life.
I know I have a life, but that's what I'm saying, Julie. Yeah. You still have to be disciplined to have a life. Otherwise, there is this expectation that you could fill up all your spare minutes with other work that you could be doing. So, yeah, I agree. It's not, I think things are more flexible than they were, say, when you were in your 20s, Julie. I think there's an expectation, maybe because more fathers are involved now and some of those things you just named, I don't know. But it's a little more flexible, but it's still pretty relentless if you're trying to balance all of those things together. Honestly, I don't know how people do it. Sometimes I get home from work at night and I say to Paris, thank God you're the only one here. Which I don't mean to sound family unfriendly. You know, no, I do have a life.
You're not, Liz. You're not. Don't worry. Believe me, I walk in and say, why are you all here? So I think every...
Or even in the morning. I think about it more in the morning. I don't know how women going to a job, actually, really, I admire you so much that you can also be dealing with your children early in the morning. Because for me, again, going back to the restful sleep issue, morning is not my prime time. So if I can get up and out the door myself in 45 minutes, including walking the dog, that's good. But if I had other people here for whom I had to exercise some responsibility, I'd never get to work in the morning.
It's stressful. It's very stressful.
What you say, the hardest part of going to work is going to work. Yeah.
Yes.
Just getting there. So.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Well, that leaves us, but carry on.
Well, it leaves me drinking Diet Coke, although I don't really drink that much Diet Coke anymore. All right. The other big story this week, of course, was the Supreme Court Hobby Lobby decision. Was it this week or last week? I don't know. It's a holiday weekend. And it just makes me, it's a reminder every June, every July, every June, when they come out with these decisions that Supreme Court has a lot of power. Makes you wonder, like, who died and made them king? And then you realize, well, aren't there any checks and balances? It doesn't really matter what side you're on. Like, every June, somebody's going to be mad because the Supreme Court makes a decision. And you're like, oh,
yeah,
they get to decide everything. Oh, that's right. They're the Supreme Court.
Yes. They're not the middle court. They're not just the very good court. They reign supreme, Leanne. I know.
Judge and jury, Leanne. How about that?
Yes. That's unbelievable.
That's a good point, Julie. How come there's no jury at the Supreme Court? Why don't they have to make the case to actual citizens? Like, you're right. Yeah, it is a really good reminder just how much power is in the hands of 9 people. And you're right. Across all kinds of decisions, sometimes you're just shocked that people can actually decide what they decide.
Right.
But they do. I also, you know, with this whole agreement, I got to admit, I am uncomfortable with a corporation also having a religious identity. I understand what they were trying to say, that it's, you know, this is a small, what did they call it?
Like, narrow decision.
Yes, closely held. That it's a closely, I get that, and I get the moral dilemmas involved in that. But I still feel like you're either a corporation or you're a person. It's the same thing with the election laws. You know, when they've said, well, corporations are people too. Remember that from the last? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Again, let's go back to our previous discussion. No, they're not. They're corporations operating with their own interest there. So that's part of it that makes me kind of really, really uncomfortable, giving corporations any more decision-making over my life. It's just, yeah. That's me.
Well, it really, I mean, certainly there is a polarization. There's so much polarization in our political discourse now that regardless whether the decision was 4-5, 5-4, people were going to, are trained to react on both sides. And that's what's so discouraging, because I think there were some real issues at the heart of the case. But, because people should have religious freedom. I don't know whether this organization should have that religious freedom. That's another issue. But, it all gets, sort of whipped up by people that are getting too little sleep and spending too much time
drinking Pepsi.
Yeah, drinking Pepsi and just, just not, raise your hand if you've read the court decision. I haven't. So I don't know. But I certainly have read a lot about the court decision.
Right.
But I don't feel like I understood sort of exactly, the narrow legal issue that they were trying to resolve.
Yeah. It's interesting because what in a legal environment seems like a narrow legal issue has such broad implications.
Yeah. Right.
Like in real life. I think that's what's sort of surprising when these big dramatic decisions come down. Like, well, to them it seems like a narrow issue, but this is it could be very broadly interpreted out there in the real world.
Mm-hmm. And this time it's a narrow decision that perhaps you agree with, but next time, whatever the decision is, it's going to be one you disagree with. Yeah,
exactly.
That's what's sort of shocking, right? It's just, they just keep coming at you. Huge decisions. Again, it feels like we should get one slot for a real person on the Supreme Court. A rotating slot.
Or the jury. I think the jury.
The jury just,
might turn things around. Okay, well, changing gears, let's talk a little bit about some of the holiday activities here in the Southland, as they say. Here in Southern California, called the Southland.
It's a stupid name. I've never embraced that.
Yeah. I've never said it out loud before, Leanne. But that's what.
Don't do it again.
But if you were watching local news here in the Southland, where they use phrases like here in the Southland, you would have seen that yesterday's big activity at Manhattan Beach was a shark attack. Great white shark bit a guy who was out there swimming. He was swimming from pier to pier. Like, he was a long-distance swimmer. So you got to love those guys. But they're out there. They're swimming along. There's a great white shark, bites him, and in the news, they describe the shark as a juvenile, right? But you're either a great white shark or you're not, in my book. Like, if you're a young great white shark, good for you, but you're still a great white shark. So this juvenile shark bit this guy, and then everyone started screaming, like, shark, 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 bite, 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 lifeguard, lifeguard. And people paddled to the swimmer's rescue and dragged him into the beach, and they got him to the hospital, and he's going to be fine.
Good.
But when I thought about the whole issue of if someone was in the water yelling shark, would I run towards it? Like, would I think of myself as a, like, good Samaritan, mm-hmm. but really?
You're also a trained lifeguard, too.
Oh, true, yeah. Oh, does that mean I have a moral obligation? Yeah, and Monica and I passed our CPR together. I'm asking you guys, like, would you have moved towards the victim in that situation? You're both also trained lifeguards.
Yes, no, I would not. I mean, right, and if I was on duty, yes, but no.
First of all, I think those people went out to get him like on surfboards and stuff. They didn't just swim out there.
No,
so
I
they
know.
Had some level of protection. I'm just saying, I don't own a surfboard.
Do you think the surfboard's going to protect them from the juvenile great white shark?
That's exactly it. Julie, in the paper today, I read that part. So Chris Lowe, who is a marine biology professor at Cal State Long Beach, said that, you know, they study these sharks out there. Apparently, these sharks live by the Manhattan Beach Pier all the time. And beachgoers, this is a quote from the LA Times, beachgoers sometimes paddle out and record the predators circling in the water underneath their boards. Wildlife officials have asked them to be more careful. Sharks will attack if they feel threatened, and the oblong silhouette of a paddleboard or surfer can be mistaken for a shark's primary prey, which would be the sea lion. Mm-hmm. So even if you're on your board, you look like a sea lion to a shark. Anyway, I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily, but I would be the one calling 911. Somebody has to do that.
Exactly, Liz, because often in an emergency, people forget to call 911.
Yeah.
So, Liz, you just take that role on yourself.
So in the next situation, just do that, Liz, and we'll feel good and you won't feel guilty about not being a hero. Do you think it's just that we have so many role models now, so many people, I don't know, even since, you know, whatever, since 9/11, whatever, that, you know, people who rush towards the danger that, you really do admire them, that, you know, that people do that now because they know people, you know, need help and they'll rush towards the danger, even though to be the hero.
Well, here's the thing that has to stop, though, is the reason the shark was so agitated is that people fish off the Manhattan Beach Pier. Mm-hmm. And so someone was fishing with anchovies and sardines on the line.
Mm.
And the shark had bitten the hook. And so the shark had been on the line for 45 minutes. So with some guy standing on the pier trying to reel in a great white shark. And so the shark was so highly agitated, the marine biologist guy earlier in the story is saying, the swimmer just happened to like literally get in the shark's way. The shark was not trying to attack a human. The shark was trying to get off the hook. So maybe fishing right there with anchovies and sardines when you know there are a bunch of sharks under you? What's up with that? Maybe
people, like, they want to catch a fish, Liz. They want to catch a shark. People eat shark. It's good. I mean, they're just catching their dinner. I mean, I think the fishermen have a right, okay?
Catching their dinner? A juvenile shark? Okay, that's a position you could take, I guess.
Well, that's people have been fishing on that pier for a long time.
I don't mind the fishing.
Well,
it just seems to me that a shark, like if you know you have a shark on the line, just cut it loose. Like trying to reel in a shark.
That's their big story. Their big fish tail, Liz. This is like the fishing moment of their life. You fish your whole life and you catch nothing. And then you get a great white on your line and you want me to walk away from that? Come on, Liz.
Okay, when you put it that way, Julie, I guess I can kind of understand. But remember, Manhattan Beach is a place that we have been swimming and boogie boarding many times as a family. So if it's your swimmers and surfers versus your fishermen with the shark on the line, I'm going with the real people, which would be us.
Julie's right. Fishermen have rights too, Liz.
Okay.
Take it to the Supreme Court. Let's see what they say.
Can't we all just get along, Liz?
Yeah.
Not with great white sharks, we can't, Julie. No. Okay, let's move from sharks to dogs. Okay, this is other allegedly fun activity in the Southland. So, Leon, you're the one that brought this opportunity to me, correct?
Yes, I get pitches in my inbox, leon@chaoschronicles.com. I get lots of pitches every day about various media opportunities and activities here in Southern California and beyond. 99% of them don't catch my eye, but this caught my eye because I thought, well, that's a stupid idea. I thought, like, this is a sign of the apocalypse. And I sent it to Liz, and it was that there was going to be a food truck for dogs in Southern California. That's right. As if we don't have enough food trucks here, you take your dog now to a food truck because dogs are people too.
you stand in line with your dog.
Stand in line with your dogs.
Because dogs love to stand in line.
Yeah. With other dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Julie, it's not just that. You can take a free family photo or doggy selfie in a professional canine-ready photo booth. You can take a relaxing walk break with dog beds, drinking bowls, and puppy toys. And you get a doggy bag full of tasty treats for your hound. That was the pitch.
That was the lure. So I jokingly sent it to Liz because the food truck was going to be in Santa Monica. I was like, hey, maybe you can do this with Ferris. Ha ha. And Liz emailed me back like, yeah, I'll just do this with Ferris. I'm taking that day off of work. And then, Liz, what happened?
Yeah, so this was Thursday. I was taking Thursday off to extend my holiday a little bit, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I thought, yeah, they're at the Santa Monica airport. There's a dog park there that's like 15 minutes from my house. That would be kind of fun. So I emailed the PR person and said, you know, it says you're going to be at the Santa Monica airport in the morning. Can I come by about mid-morning? And she said, well, we're not exactly sure how long we're going to stay at each stop, so you might want to come first thing. So whatever.
And it's important to note that we're asked as media people. We're
yes, exactly.
Press people to actually like preview the event. And then, you know, if we enjoy it, to tell people about it. And that's, I think, the key difference. It wasn't just like, oh, it's, you know, you're a person with a dog. Come on over.
No, right. They're looking for coverage
right.
of their dog truck or a food truck for dogs. And I thought we were, Leon and I kind of agreed, we're the perfect place to publicize something like
yeah.
that. Mm-hmm. Because we talk about dogs anyway.
And the food truck is making a national tour, Julie, stopping in many sort of satellite sister hubs.
Yeah.
Oh, so we okay. thought, oh, well, yeah, fun.
So even though it's my day off, you know, you're up kind of early. The dog needs to go out first thing in the morning anyway. So it said Santa Monica Airport, 7:30 in the morning. So I was actually at Santa Monica Airport, 7:30 in the morning, me and Ferris, and there to like have fun with all, take a doggy selfie. And you know how much Ferris hates having his picture taken,
yes.
but like, so I drive in and I'm looking around. And I'm like, hmm. And then we pull into the parking lot. We get out and I'm like, hmm, there is no food truck for dogs at the Santa Monica dog park at 7:30 in the morning. There are a couple of dogs there with a couple of dog owners. But there's nothing going on there at 7:30 on Thursday morning. So, and bear in mind, I had emailed this person in charge and said, I'm coming. I'll be there at 7:30. Great. And she emailed back, thanks. Would love to have you come. Blah, 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 blah. So she had said the best way to check for immediate updates are on our Twitter page. So she sent me the Twitter page for the food truck. And but, you know, when you're invited to something at 7:30 in the morning, you don't like at 7 think, oh, I better check Twitter to make sure it's actually happening. She had emailed me a time and a place. I considered it to be locked in. So I get there. There's no food truck. And okay, it's
so that is a bad scene. You alone, airport parking lot.
Yes, thank you, Julie.
Stalking around 7:30 in the morning. You probably haven't even had your coffee.
Yes, right.
Little Ferris is still shaking. Like, oh, gosh.
I'm trying to do something good for the show and good for them, and instead, it's just a very unhappy start to the day. So, So I took a picture of Ferris and I alone at the dog park, and I sent it to the PR person and said, here I am with Ferris at the Santa Monica dog park.
Oh, Liz, that's good. That's sort of new social media mean. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't want to just text her or tweet her and say, we're here, where are you? I wanted to prove we were alone in a dog park at 7:30 in the morning. So the PR person emails me back. So sorry, Liz, we had issues with our permits. So the truck had to move to Redondo Beach Dog Park. Like, oh, thanks. Yeah, that's only like another 45 minutes away from here. So sure, I'm going to do that first thing in the morning. No. And she said, like, can you join us Saturday or Sunday? We're going to try to be back in Santa Monica then, roaming the streets. And here's where it just gets completely ridiculous. She's like, if you just keep checking our Twitter feed, you'll know where we are and you can come find us.
Let's just repeat that, Julie. Someone told Liz Dolan, check the Twitter feed so you can find us.
Yeah.
Just
constantly check that, Liz.
That's what I want to do.
Nothing else going on.
Nothing I would rather do than constantly check my Twitter feed for the location of a food truck for dogs, right? And I mean, it's just ridiculous that you would ask, like, maybe it's a generational thing, but I'm like, why can't you just tell me where you're going to be? Let me get this straight. You invited us to this, and now are you refusing to tell me where you're going to be?
Ooh, Liz, they're building demand. They're creating some buzz. I think that's what
they think they're doing, Julie. So Friday on the 4th of July, all day, of course, I'm obsessively checking their Twitter feed.
Oh,
and they did not post one single notice about where they were.
They're afraid of you. That's it.
And she said, oh, I can put you in touch with our tour director. I'm like, yeah, you have my email. If the tour director could tell me when you're going to be in Santa Monica, that would be great. I haven't heard a peep, Julie, nothing, because it's all about the Twitter. And I don't understand why. Why? If you want me to come to something, just tell me. Just you asked me. How did we get into this? So yesterday, Leanne, when I saw you, we were double checking, right? And it was like,
well, no, you were double checking. You were telling us this story. You're like, I'm going to check right now. Where's that food truck? Now she can't let it go, Jewel.
I know. You're going to take this truck down. You're going to blow it up. It's going to be like that truck that blew up. Is that what's going to happen?
I wanted to participate in the fun, right? I was willing to, like, suspend all disbelief about how stupid the idea is and actually just go experience the food truck for dogs because it seemed funny and that we could have a funny conversation about it today. Instead of being tortured all weekend that I'm supposed to really – this is supposed to drive my whole schedule all weekend is how this food truck for dogs is moving around the whole Southland. So
– yeah. It also showed like a complete no understanding of how big Los Angeles is or
exactly.
Traffic. Who knows where this food truck is actually from or these 12-year-old PR people.
Right. So at 7:30 in the morning, instead of being in Santa Monica, I was like, oh, yeah, we'll drive down to Redondo Beach. Sure. No, that is not happening. By the way, I did check this morning. There is the truck is currently at the Huntington Beach dog park. They have one right there on the beach. So if you're hearing this now, which would be impossible, but if you are in Orange County, you can if you just Google food truck for dogs, you'll find out everything you need to know.
Because Liz isn't going to tell you the Twitter.
No, I'm not going to give you the Twitter. No.
Are you going to work on Monday? Or are you just going to search out this food truck for dogs?
Remember, it's heading east, people. So Minneapolis, food truck for dog.
We're not going to tell you where or when. don't ask us the name. Nope, nothing.
That's apparently their marketing goal, is to just have you totally confused about how you can actually take part in this this activity. So Ferris was very disappointed. That's all I have to say.
All right. Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do. because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift-giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, rate for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you are going to be happy, okay? And that's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling
sure.
there
yes.
with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because yep. it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
Speaking of like things I would never want to do, I saw this in the New York Times travel section today. It's a new, like sort of a popular, I don't want to say vacation spot, but a popular activity now in certain cities all over the world that you can do either on vacation or just in your free time. And this is the whole gist of the story. You and a group of people get together, you go to like an unnamed building, you make your reservations, and then they lock you in a room together and you need to get out of the room. So that's
what?
The game. That is the game that you are, you know, you're lured to this room. It's a locked room. There are clues in the dark, small, stuffy room to get you and your group out of the game.
Wow.
Out of the room. Does that sound like the worst idea ever? I know.
Well, for you, Leanne, it ticks off many boxes that you have. A small dark room, right?
I can't with people that you may or may not know, and you have to like work together while you're panicking to get out of a locked room. Who thinks that is fun?
I don't know. It's sort of like those murder mystery cruises, only
except
work.
You're locked in a small room. Yeah.
Well, you know, Leanne, this is, I don't know why, but once again, I found myself watching the Today Show this week. And,
I don't know
you know, I don't know. And the Today Show, one of my many beefs about it is they've turned the Today Show, it's all about them on the Today Show. It's, right. you know, all they do is like stories about Matt Lauer or, you know, behind the scenes. But they tried this thing, Leanne, that you just talked about. Where the teams of like the different people on the Today Show were locked in the room and they had to get out. So, yes, it looked terrible. So, can imagine you could have been locked in a room with Matt Lauer.
That takes it beyond my worst nightmare. Yeah, so, apparently it started in Budapest. This is where it like caught on.
Oh, I was going to guess Brooklyn. but okay,
well,
Budapest.
Now there are over 50 companies running these locked room things in Budapest, and now it's like spread out and franchised all over the world. So Las Vegas, it's popular. In New York, it's popular now. The Room Escape is what they're called. And I just can't.
So is this just for people to sort of showcase their problem-solving skills?
Yeah, team-building, Julie, through deductive logic, teamwork, and a little bit of luck, they figure out how to get out. You know, I don't want a team build in a dark locked room.
Is it really dark?
Wow. You're in a dark room. I mean, and there might be small bits of light, but it's essentially, it's a locked, dark room. I don't even like getting in an elevator that's slightly crowded these days.
I think you should take up swimming on Manhattan Beach.
It sounds safer.
Yeah, it does sound like a better vacation opportunity for you.
But I would. If you actually, Julie, if I had to either swim with sharks or get in a small, dark locked room, I'd swim with sharks.
I think you have better chances, Leanne. Better chances. So.
Oh, God, that sounds awful.
Well, sisters, I know you just, I can tell Liz that you are now obsessed with this dog food truck. And Leanne, you're so worried that you're going to, I think you're going to find yourself in a locked, dark room.
It's true.
I think it's coming to Pasadena. It seems like an ideal town and that you have a lot of social activities that go on. You're going to get invited to some event and you're going to go and you're going to think you're going to be there to talk about Elizabeth the First Wife and you're going to be locked in a room. There you go. So you just need to take your minds off of it. And sisters, I have the show for you. Okay, I'm just saying, put down your summer reading. What you get, you know, fire up your Netflix because I want you to start watching Scandal. Now, as you know, on our Facebook page, many people have recommended watching Scandal, that they wanted us, Leanne, because we talk about TV shows on Tuesday, that this was a potential show that we could talk about. We so made a mistake going with that Mr. Selfridge. We should have gone with Scandal. And here are the 8 reasons, sisters, why you need to watch Scandal. Number one, Liz, it's set in Washington. And you know that the fake D.C. is so much better than the real Washington, D.C.
Yes.
You're going to love this show. I know you love
it. Okay.
Reason alone. Number two, Leanne, it has a strong female lead, Olivia Pope. She's beautiful. She's smart. She's strong. She's eloquent. She gives these fiery, passionate speeches. You are going to love her. Number three, third reason why you have to watch Scandal is Olivia Pope has not one, but 2 boyfriends at the time. Okay? And one of them happens to be the president of the United States. Okay? Now, you know I'm not big on adultery, but I think for certain reasons, under certain conditions, you can understand it. And the other one is this very dreamy, sexy, good-looking, evil, double-secret spy guy. So, and the thing about it is she has lots of sex. Okay? So it's all in the show.
In fact, that's power. That's true power.
Many other of the characters have lots of sex. There is sex, sex, sex going on in this show. So you need to have it. Fourth reason, there is a first lady on this show, and you love her. You hate her. You love her. You hate her. Okay? But they've got an excellent first lady character. Okay. Fifth reason, Leanne, I know this is, you're going to love it, is they kill a lot of people on this show. Characters are shot off all the time, okay? So you just can never, you can't relax. You can't think, oh, well, they'll never, you know, nothing will ever happen to so-and-so because they're a lead character. Oh, they get killed all the time. People are dead. Sixth reason, Liz, it is TV. And you know, this is the one thing, TV, it's not real. And that's what's great. So Olivia Pope, she has a multi-million-dollar wardrobe. Okay? She has office space to kill for. She has this fabulous apartment and she has very few clients. By season 2 or 3, she stops working with clients altogether. She doesn't have any clients. There's something like that. She rarely sleeps. She is one of these 1% people. You never see her in bed.
She's having sex.
With her boyfriends. But she prefers to use kitchen counters, the Oval Office. to have a lot of her sex. So that brings it up. Okay. She has a fabulous figure. Okay. I was just all during season one. I was like, well, how does she have this fabulous figure? She never exercises and she apparently just drinks red wine and popcorn. Those are the only two things she consumes on this show, but it all works for her because it's TV. So that's it.
Great.
Number seven, even though she is one of the most powerful people in Washington, people have unlimited access to her apartment door. You cannot believe the people that are coming and going out of Olivia Pope's apartment. It is amazing, astounding. You just said when the doorbell rings, who knows? And Leanne, finally, the eighth reason is there are so many spies. They get spies versus double spies.
Oh.
So it's a great theme. So you have to get into it. It's a wonderful, wonderful show. And and the Satellite Sisterhood was right about it. So
you're going to stop, you two on the Tuesday show, enough with the costume dramas. You're just going to go with, Olivia Pope all the way.
Yeah, Leanne, so you have some time, you know, Netflix, catch up, and then we'll be ready to go when it takes off in the fall.
Okay, all right. You know, I was on the bandwagon season one, and then I fell off season two because some of the plot lines are so outrageous.
Yes, well, it's TV, Leanne.
And yeah. I know, but I can't roll with those Shonda Rhimes shows because it's just really outrageous plot lines. I like a touch of outrageous, but not like every week everybody's trying to kill the president and sleep with the president simultaneously. That just seemed like the president isn't doing anything,
not
but
one thing
talking about Olivia Pope. Like he doesn't make one decision except, you know, when can I see Olivia Pope again?
And he has unlimited time to see her too. It's really amazing. It's it's TV, Leanne. So just go with it.
Hey, Jewel. All right. You know what's funny is my son Brooks just started watching Lost on Netflix, and you know how much I love Lost, and I feel the loss of Lost still in my life. Like there is no show that's filled that hole, and so watching him watch it, it's like seeing it again for the first time. It's making me so happy. It's like I can give myself over again to the ridiculousness of Lost. Again, not anchored in anything real, and yet somehow so subtle, you just go with it. So, all right, Julie. Well, I will try again. It was when there's that one character that I was getting a lot of service in the scripts. That's all I can say. The one like the Vietnam War vet or the vet. But he was like, every week he killed the president. I didn't understand why. I didn't get
Leanne,
it.
Leanne, spoiler alert. Come on.
There's a lot. So, and Liz, this is an ideal thing for your next international trip. You can really catch up and you will enjoy it.
Do a whole season on a long international flight. Uh-huh, excellent. Uh-huh. Hey, speaking of international, there was one thing I wanted to mention on the show that I forgot to tell you guys. And this is a World Cup technology leap forward. I don't know if it's Sunday as we record this, if you were watching the games this weekend on Friday and Saturday, but I had not seen before the whipped cream line. What is that?
That's a new line. A new bit of technology that FIFA has adapted from the MLS.
Have you seen this, Julie? The players have to line up, so the referee has like a can of Ready Whip with him, and he just makes a line out of whipped cream, and they have to stand behind it. I was just laughing out loud seeing that. So that's a thing in the MLS, Leanne?
Yeah. You know what happens when they do those PKs? They're supposed to be 10 feet, like the defender's supposed to be 10 feet behind the ball. But my son, the soccer player, says the minute the ref sets up the wall, he turns his back to go put the ball down, and the whole wall inches up, another foot, another foot. They just all move collectively. So that's why now they mark the line, and then they mark where the ball's meant to be to try to prevent that. But it is fascinating, Liz, because those refs are running – and the temperatures are so hot there. Mm-hmm. I was like, what is the canister made of? I'm surprised it just doesn't explode from the agitation and the heat. And then the idea is it just disappears right into the field. You know, it's like a shaving cream or a Cool Whip or something. Just disappears right into the field.
Anyway, I like it. It was just a new element to the game, added to the game.
Yeah,
which is,
simple, elegant. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So, Leanne, are you changing your picks for the finals? Who you still think Argentina can go all the way?
You know, I was on the fence. I didn't think Argentina was playing particularly well other than Messi, but they had a good game this weekend. So I was sort of thinking I'd like to see Belgium go through. I think that was a good young team. But Argentina came back and beat them. So, you know, I'm going to stick with Messi. I can go back on my pick. We have a big Germany lobby in my house, too, being that my husband's family is German. And so that's moving forward, too, fairly strongly. So we have, I guess, anyone but Brazil is what we want.
How can you say that?
You know, they're a dirty team, Liz. They are a dirty team. You know, I am sorry that Neymar got nailed and his back was broken, but
this is the star player.
Yes.
Right. With the excellent hair.
Yes. In the 88th minute, he got hammered by a Colombian defender, but they were like wrecking that Jaime Rodriguez all game. And that's the way they play. They're just a dirty team. They're a dirty team. Dirty team. Mm-hmm. So I like the people of Brazil. I think Brazil's done a fine job. Uh-huh. I hope the Brazilians listening don't take this personally, but it's hard to root for that
team.
Of course
they will,
Leanne. I know they will. It's hard for me to root for that team. I think they're just kind of a dirty team. So,
Julie, do you have a pick?
I was going with the home team, Brazil. That was my pick early on. And now I think with Neymar out, it makes it even more emotional to go for Brazil. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How about you?
Well, you know, I work with a lot of Argentinians, many, many Argentinians. So I would be happy to see them succeed. And, you know, I have a new, keener appreciation for Messi than I ever had before. Because I always knew he was really good, but it's not like I sat around and watched a lot of Messi. And he really is awesome.
And he's awesome.
The extra thing about him that I like is that he is just so not attractive. You know,
right.
He's just like...
Looks like an accountant.
Exactly. I said plumber, Julie. He just looks like if he showed up at your door to, like, unstop your sink, you would be totally fine with that. Like, okay, come on in. He just doesn't... There are so many, like... They're all so attractive.
Insanely attractive.
Insanely attractive men in the game of international football. But he's like not only very average looking, he's shorter than average. And so I like the fact that he is such a champion, even though he doesn't look like one.
He literally has the worst haircut in all of major sports. I can't. That haircut. What is that? What is that haircut? I mean, he has an odd. He's tied with Djokovic for worst haircut of professional athletes. Djokovic also horrible haircut.
But a champion.
Yeah. Champion.
How did he just win?
He just won. You know, we record in our closets, and my husband slipped me a little note during the recording session. Djokovic won.
So,
he won in five sets over Roger Federer. It was a barn burner. It was an incredible match by two champions. It was great, great tennis.
And great, great star watching. Will and Kate were there. Bex and Posh were there. Clive Owen, Kate Winslet.
Wow.
Good. Yeah, it's a good crowd today. That's the place to be next year. If you're not at the World... I'm sure all those people were at the World Cup, then showed up at Wimbledon. And then they're going back to Brazil. Anyway, All right. I just wanted to mention one thing. I am posting our Satellite Sisters Word Write Festival this week. It would be great if people wanted to download all these three interviews I did with really fun authors. Annabelle Gurwitch went up last week. And so you can find it at the Satellite Sisters website, or it should have popped up in your iTunes or Stitcher feed. Couple more authors coming up, and then I'm scheduling a few more for later in July. So plenty of authors to talk to, but Annabelle Gurwitch's book, I See You Made an Effort, is very funny. It's essays on aging, and she's just super funny, and she's kind of one of those people that you just press the button and she starts talking.
Right.
And she's delightful.
That was a super fun conversation. I enjoyed listening to that, Leanne.
Yeah. Thank
because,
you.
You know, I look forward to the Tuesday shows, and then, you know, which didn't quite materialize this week for lots of totally good reasons. And then I know there was talk of a Wednesday show or a Thursday show or a Friday show, but the Tuesday show just became the Sunday show. So, right? So it was really really nice to have Annabelle Gurwitch as a added extra benefit this week.
Yes, and next week is Amy Alcon, you know, the advice goddess, Amy Alcon. So she has a new book out called Good Manners for Nice People Who Sometimes Say Bad Words. And so she's sort of the anti-Dr. Forney. She's not. She's like, if Dr. Forney believed in revenge, that's what Amy Alcon is. She does not turn the other cheek. She expects good manners, but she does not turn the other cheek. So that's good. Anyway, so that will post this week.
And we still have our special deal going at Audible, right? So if you go to audiblepodcast.com/sisters, you can download a free audiobook. It's the perfect season for this. Any long drives, long trips you're on, even just sitting at the beach, it's kind of nice to just put your headphones on, put your earbuds in, and have someone tell you a story. So if you want to support Satellite Sisters, testing out the whole Audible audiobook system would be a good way to do that. So that's audiblepodcast.com/sisters. You have to use our special code for us to get the credit for it.
Yeah, my son is using it for his summer reading. So
Good.
He just downloaded Oliver Twist. So there you go. Because as he said, oh, Dickens, there are so many words.
I bet that makes a really good audiobook.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's and it's read by a really good British actor. So there you go.
All right. So what else we got going on here? That's it.
That's it.
You guys up for a Tuesday show this week?
I believe it is in the stars, Liz.
Yes.
That's the plan. We start each week hopeful. That's the way we go. But don't pressure us, Liz.
Yeah, come on, Liz.
No, I know. Hey, I understand. I'm just tracking a food truck. I have my focus now. Food truck for dog. Thought it was a good idea, and they've yet to prove it to me. Okay.
Just stay out of dark rooms, okay? If anyone invites you over for something fun and new, just say no, okay?
Got it.
All right. Well, this was fun. Enjoy the rest of the holiday weekend. We are the Satellite Sisters. Call your satellite sister.
You walk into the world you make. You lose yourself, but you find your way. I'm going to watch your radio. 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 We turn so slow, I know it's hard to wait. But take your time, son, it's yours to take. I'm going to watch your radio. Radio. Oh, oh, radio. These rocks, they hold heat. Pools of water cool your feet. As you walk, you believe every part of